All right, our scripture for today is from Jeremiah chapter 29. And the title of the sermon is God's Plan. Jeremiah 29, verse 1 says, "This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent to Jerusalem to the surviving elders, among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord." Verse 10, this is what the Lord says. "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." So we usually hear that little snippet in the middle, right? That little couple verses, that one verse or two, Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12, 13. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Right? That's a very common verse. We hear it all the time, right? "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And you will call on me and come to pray for me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." So when you take that little snippet in the middle, and you don't look at the other part around it, it's true, right? Those verses are true. God does have plans for us. But God also had plans for these people in Jeremiah to take them into exile. That was his plan. They were not following God. They were doing what they wanted. And so God's plan was to conquer them by another nation and take them into exile. And they were trying to, the chapters before this are all these prophecies by false prophets saying, "Don't worry, you know, God's going to take us out of exile very soon, and I promise, you know, everything's going to be honky-dory, great." And here it explains very carefully, right, that this is a text of a letter from Jeremiah, and it was sent from Jerusalem to the exiles in Babylon. Okay? And it says, settle yourselves down there. Right? God is not coming to save you or rescue you or take you out of exile anytime soon. build houses there, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, have sons and daughters, increase in number. And it says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. God says, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. But sometimes those plans, just like these plans in Jeremiah, are plans for you to sit in your circumstances, to sit in that place where God has brought you, and to prosper there, right? To learn to be happy, to learn to be content right there in the middle of Babylon, in the middle of the exile. Not just to pray that God will take you out, but to actually pray that God will prosper you in that place and prosper those around you in that place. God's plan for us is to be in joyful engagement. God's plan for us is to interact honestly and with integrity with our circumstances. One thing I like about being here at Wellspring is that you sing songs like Weep With Me, real songs that help people understand that God's not always just going to fix things, but sometimes God's just going to walk with you in the muck and mire. I mentioned to you that the last couple days have been really busy days for me. And Friday, my sister-in-law had surgery. And I also was supposed to go to a meeting, and I also had a couple of other things I was supposed to do for work. So ahead of time, I was like, well, I'm just going to lay down the prayer foundation here. I'm going to make sure that things work out just really well. So I prayed, you know, Lord, just order my day on Friday, you know, just make things work out so that I can do the things that I need to do, make sure that I can get to my meeting on time. You know, just, Lord, you know, I know that you can make things work out well for me. So 7:30 in the morning, I took my sister-in-law to the hospital. Her surgery was at 10. So, okay, great. Then I can be out of there by 9:30. God's going to work this all out for me, and I can be at my meeting by 10, or at least, even if I can't get to the meeting, at least I can talk to the people over, like, a video conference or something. Did not happen. On top of that, part of my reason to go was to translate for my sister-in-law, and they wouldn't let me translate because, you know, legal ramifications and such, which they said, well, we've been doing this for years. I said, I know that's not true because every other time I've come with my sister-in-law, I've always translated for her. So I started feeling like, well, there's not even a good reason for me to be here. So I'm just here, and my time is passing by, and I'm missing my meeting, and Lord, I thought we covered this, that you were going to order my day, so all this stuff worked out. I left 11 o'clock from the hospital after she was finally taken into surgery, and I went home, and on the way home, I saw a note from my son saying that, by the way, his girlfriend was going to come over and they were going to have lunch at our house. Well, that means that Mom is going to go home and cook something for lunch. So I did that, and we had lunch, and it was very nice. And then I started counting, okay, well, a certain time I'm supposed to go back because of the surgery, an hour plus, you know, an hour of recuperation time. Okay, well, in 2 or 3 hours, I'll come back. Okay. So after I calculated it, and I went back, of course. So then I got back, and the guy at the desk said, well, no, she just got into recuperation. She's going to take another hour or so of recuperation. Okay, well, Lord, I thought you had taken care of this. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And so I said, well, okay, I guess I'll wait. Okay, I waited for 59 minutes, and then I went back to the desk. And he said, oh, I'll call back for you, okay. Oh, well, she's still in recuperation. It's going to be another half an hour or so. So 45 minutes later, finally the nurse comes out. She goes in. So by this time, it's 3 o'clock, 3:30. Now I'm getting stressed because I'm supposed to go pick up Julio. I'm supposed to take Julio to the airport so he can go to Indiana to pick up Isabel. And his flight leaves at, you know, I have to leave by 5:30 to do that. So finally got back there, and she's, you know, being, she's, you know, how people come out, they're groggy, and, you know, they're really, so I'm like, okay, hurry up, like, get yourself together. And the nurse comes in, you know, the nurse will come in, and she'll, like, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm okay. Would you like some juice or crackers? Yes, okay. So she leaves, and then 10 minutes later, she comes back with the juice or crackers, and she leaves again, and then... And then 10 minutes after that, she comes back and asks how she's doing and takes out one of the IV things and then disappears. So let's just say, like, I'm starting to feel like my life, my timing is not in order at all. And I'm starting to feel like, what happened here, Lord? You know, I prayed that this was all going to work out, that I was going to be able to do all things I needed to do, and it's not happening. So I took her home. We had to stop and get medication. She wanted to stop and get her prescription card from her sister's house. And let's just say by this time I was super late. So I dropped her off. And I was like, I had a serious conversation with the Lord. I said, Lord, now Julio might get late to the airport. Like, I don't understand what happened here today. And I felt like God was said to me, what was your intention for today? Okay, well, my intention today was to serve you, to serve you. Okay, well, you did that. You served me. This is what, you asked me to order your day, and I ordered your day. The way I wanted to order your day, not the way you wanted me to order the day. That's what happens with us, right? God has a plan for us. It's not always what we think it should be. And God's plan is often, very often, not reasonable or very practical. And God's plans can be very confusing. I'm sure that the people of Israel were very confused about why would God want them to stay in Babylon, have children and build houses and all that? Why didn't God just take them back to their own land and help them to prosper there? And God knows, right? God knows why he does things. That's one prayer that we very rarely get an answer to. The why. Lord, why did you do this? God very rarely answers us. And as parents, you can understand, right? Children often ask why. And they're not old enough. They're not mature enough. They don't have the intellectual capacity or the emotional understanding to understand why. And we don't always have, we rarely have that capacity to understand God's why either. But God says that after 70 years, I will come and perform my good promise to you and bring you back in this place. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Those verses are the verses that you hold on to. Those are the verses that you cling to when it feels like God's plans are not that great and they're not working out very well for you. And God is asking for us to stick with him and to joyfully engage, to engage with integrity. He wants us to prosper where we are. He wants us to live and to connect with him right where we are. And I didn't do that great of a job on that on Friday. I tried, but it just did not feel like things were working out very well for me. And thankfully, before the end of the day, I realized my mistake and was able to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have just gone with your plan. I should have just read my book in the hospital and talked to people and just relaxed, because that was your plan for me. Your plan was to give me a day of rest. But I didn't take it. I stressed out instead. I'm going to switch tracks a little bit here and just talk a little bit about our church. So as Sandra mentioned, last week the pastoral search committee spent time filling out the congregational profile. Questions about size, our demographics, our values, our vision. And I also spent some time writing a congregational profile for Franconia conference, because they want to get to know a little bit the congregations in the conference. So if anybody wants a copy of that, I'd be happy to email it out or fill it out. We also have been looking at foundational verses, right? Verses that we feel like are important in our congregation. There's some of you who haven't responded, and if you still would like to respond, I would still love to add your scriptures. Scriptures that you feel like are central to the calling and vision of Wellspring. So the question that I'm asking today is, what is God's plan for us? Okay? God has plans for us individually, but God also has a plan for us together as a congregation. And God's plan always, we can always count on that God's plan always wants to bring us in closer relationship to Him. And we can count on that God's plan is always to prosper us, to give us hope in a future. And God's plan is always to listen to us and spend time with us. And God's plan is always centered around making things right. I've been reading this book that's called Blue Ocean Faith. It's a group of congregations who operate on certain principles and values. I heard about the book through the pastor at Ambler Mennonite Church, and it interested me because the first idea that's mentioned in the book is a concept that actually Eloise's father originated, and that's the idea of a centered, different ways of being centered. So the first idea is like a boundary, right? So that in a lot of churches, people are kind of in or out. But in a centered set, which I feel like represents our congregation pretty well, is the idea is that there is a central figure. So in our case, our central figure is Jesus. And people are not in or out, right? You're not accepted or not accepted, but you are rather moving towards or away from the center. That's Jesus. So if the center is Jesus, and I think that we believe here at Wellspring that Jesus is our center, it's above our door, right? So somebody put it there, somebody believed that at some point in time. And if the center is Jesus, then who we believe is alive and who's talking to us and is relating to us, then our spirituality, right, our life is exciting and vibrant, and we're constantly growing and moving. And we also believe that anyone in this congregation can teach anyone else about Jesus, right? And we believe that when we go out into the world, that any manner of experiences can draw us closer to Jesus, because we're always alert to see how Jesus is acting in our lives. So one example from the foundational scriptures is Matthew 16, where we spend time in this church asking the question, who do people say the Son of Man is? Who is Jesus? and we continue to build our lives on the foundation of Christ. Centered set. Okay, that's who we are. That's part of the work that we're doing this year is redefining who we are and what God's plan is for us moving forward. So the foundation of Christ being centered set. So I'm looking at members of the congregation and I'm seeing if at this point in their lives they're being drawn closer to Jesus or if they're moving away from Jesus. If someone doesn't show up for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, it may not mean that they're moving farther away from Jesus, but they're certainly not connecting at church, right? So that's when you keep checking in on people to see where they are. Not that they're out. They're not out of the church, but are they connecting with Jesus? The church becomes a secondary figure rather than, and Jesus becomes the center. Another verse that we have, a foundational verse that connects us with this idea of center set, is the idea of thirst and coming to Jesus to drink, right? You cannot be centered set, you cannot be drawing close to Jesus without drinking, without spending time, without digging into the wellspring that is Jesus. And the second idea that I just borrowed from this book, from this church's, is that I believe that here at Wellspring, we highly value scripture and the study of God's word. But hand in hand with that, or also with that, we value prayer, we value our relationship with the Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And we believe that that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. So Jesus is center. The scriptures are very, very important. And so is prayer and our relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And we believe, and we've seen it happen here time and time again, the Holy Spirit interceding and moving among us. This is the last idea, and this is the one that I would like to focus on for us just moving forward. The last idea is that churches should joyfully engage with the world around them. So here in Jeremiah 29, we see God's suggestion to the Gentiles: build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have children, and on and on. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you into exile. Pray to the Lord, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So for a lot of years, churches and religious groups have kind of kept themselves separate from the world, right? Be in the world, but not of the world, right? And it's affected in some places and sometimes our ability to be salt and light. This is something that we're thinking about here, right? What kind of ministries, what kind of things that we can do to reach out into our community? I believe that here for us, it's not enough just to take care of us, right? We're not just trying to take care of us. We're trying to actually be salt and light everywhere we go. So sometimes when you're too busy keeping yourself separate from everything, you don't get a chance to share the good news because you don't have friendship outside of the church. And there was a time where people didn't have any friends outside of the church, right? The church was their sole social gathering. Now it's not like that. So now we have to train ourselves. We have to learn how to be salt and light in all kinds of settings. I remember Janine talking, a month or so ago, about going to a picnic where she wasn't sure she really wanted to go. But she went and she had a good time and she ended up talking to people and enjoying herself. That's what it means to be salt and light. Good things happen when we meet and love and talk with and learn from other people, right? Not just people in the church, but friends and neighbors in the larger culture. Good things happen when we seek the prosperity, and well-being of the community in which we're located. Now, we have this little conundrum, this confusing and difficult problem here at Wellspring. How do we joyfully connect with a community that seems like they have everything they already need already, right? And I've heard it said that Pastor Mike reached out to community, the neighbors, and he visited the people here, and with very little result. And that people in this area, I mean, Janine says all the time that people in this area are mostly well off. They're not really looking for help, and they're not obvious needs. So how do we joyfully engage with people in our community, in our area, if they don't need anything from us, or if they don't, you know, if there's no way for us to really engage because of the way that society is? We did see and are working to meet needs of people meet the needs of people who are looking for the prison, but we can't, you know, only one of us can go actually into the prison and meet the community that's nearby here. I heard you had a good session on Thursday night through all the deluge of rain, but that's good. And we've supported people through the Angel Tree. When Eloise started bringing her granddaughters, we surrounded her and responded and were supportive. And she's expressed appreciation for that. What else can we do? What else can we do? I think that here we want to be joyfully engaged. I heard at least it was an idea, or it happens that during July, 4th of July, that sometimes people come and sit in our parking lot here, and the idea was to hand out, you know, popcorn or water or whatever. In the past, I heard that people passed out water bottles at the parade with scripture around them, with the name of the church, with encouragement. So it's not like we haven't tried, right, to joyfully engage. And so my question is, what is God's plan for us? What is God's plan for us moving forward? We can't give up, right? Because we're called to be salt and light in the world. And so my encouragement is that we continue to pray, right? We are here. God has placed us here. God has called each of you here individually. We are here, and God's plan is for us to be prosperous and to joyfully engage our community here. So what else can we do? There's two signs in the office. One says, no place for hate. The other one says, no matter where you're from, we are glad you are our neighbor, in three languages. Do we want to put those out in the front yard? How about our sign up front? Does anybody have ideas to put on the sign that would show joyful engagement with the people who drive by? You know, a lot of people drive by here. A lot. And a sign may not seem like that much, but we can joyfully engage through our sign. Do we want to put a sign up that says that our fellowship hall is available for use? Do we want to do that? We've considered two different possibilities, and the one was for like a homeschool group to meet here on a regular basis, and we kind of decided we weren't sure that that would create the kind of engagement that we would value. But do we want to put a sign up that says, you know, this fellowship hall is available for community events? Do we want to put out a paper recycling bin in our parking lot? We got plenty of space in our parking lot, right? Maybe that's one way that we could serve the community. Put out a paper recycling. People could bring their papers here, and we could, you know, try to catch people as they come, and we could paint it. We could put in fancy notes on it, whatever, right? It's still one step removed from actually talking to people, but it is an idea. Or a clothing bin to collect clothing for some sort of agency or something like that. Do we want to, that's my last idea. Sorry. We're not trying to hide our light under the bushel, right? We're trying to shine our light. And even though our community is unique, you know, in Norristown, oh, so easy to connect with the community. People are knocking on the church door all the time, asking for help, for all kinds of things. And that creates a whole other set of issues. But here, that doesn't happen. Every once in a while, there's a phone message from May or from Joy or from somebody, but not really that many messages, right, Marion? Right? People don't really stop in. I've talked to a man on the step who was just taking a walk around, and sometimes people park their cars in the lot here, like they're just talking to somebody on the phone. They don't want to talk to me if I go out there. So let's pray. Let's pray that God reveals his plan for us. Because I believe that God does call us to joyful engagement with the world. And doesn't always mean that people have to come here, right? We go lots of places. We work in a lot of different spaces. Sandra had an interaction, and maybe she wants to tell it herself, with a man at the farm stand who